Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Happy hump day to you. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We had a lot to get into today. We were going to talk about LeBron James and his school. We were going to talk about Major League Baseball and some of the who was traded and who wasn't traded. We were going to talk about the NBA and gambling. We were going to talk about Jerry Jones getting in trouble with the NFL for opening his mouth and Dak Prescott getting a lot of heat. We were going to talk about all the haters out there on Saquon Barkley, on all the young guys coming out and how I hope these young players shut them up. And I keep joking saying we still are. But we're definitely going to talk about this Urban Meyer situation. We're going to do all that right here on The Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there and get your cigar 10% off just by mentioning PLR. Again, Maduro's is located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. They do serve beer and wine as well now, so make sure you get in there. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs right up to a humidor and never worry about your sticks going bad ever. All that at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights. Again, let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Thank you for joining me this Wednesday on The Cave Show. Like I said, this is PLR. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-78. That is the Carrie Lackey Law line. Any of those topics I brought up, you can chime in on, or if you have something completely different, feel free. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience, caller. You're in The Cave with PLR. Who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, how you feel today, bud, my friend?
All right, we had some rain up here, so I kind of delayed the Yankee game a bit, but it's still all good. I wish you could say the same
for
the score, though.
Ugh.
All right. Well, how do you like this? Training camp is, you know, just opened up, and already we got loaded with injuries.
Yes.
And
yes.
Jerry and some are more quite serious, to be honest, too.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I've always felt this way.
Yes.
I think preseason games are the most ridiculous thing ever, and I think it increases the chances. And when you see players getting hurt, just getting ready to play the season,
it
makes me feel even more so that we need to cut these preseason games down to two.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you would think, you know, they get hurt bad enough on the field, but just in practice, I mean, you know, and the injuries are just piling up, and, you know, broken leg injuries, quad injuries. I mean, some of
ECL,
the injuries that were this
MCLs.
Week, they were in serious pain, had to be carted off just in practice.
Yeah, it's a tough sport,
that does
man.
That does say something.
It does. Now, you know what? Now, there are those on the other side that say that a lot of these injuries happen because there's not enough practices and guys are – their body isn't ready as much as it used to be, because a lot of the injuries we're seeing now we didn't necessarily see in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. What's your take on that?
They were not, you mean back then they were more properly conditioned?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, that always questions me every year. Why are we seeing more injuries now, and why do they seem to be more serious than they have in, you know, years or, shall I say, decades past?
Well, not only that, considering that athletes are in better shape now, much better shape, and they can concentrate more on football, which they couldn't do back then because a lot of guys in the 60s and the 70s, when football was done, they had to go sell cars or insurance or, you know, catch up on TV in the local market to make ends meet. But, you know, one of the latest ones today was, you know, Jake Ryan, who tore his ACL with the Green Bay Packers and just done an 11-11 drill, and now he's done for the year.
And Matthews got cut.
Matthews got cut due to, you know, not being by the Patriots because he couldn't, you know, get right and get back in, you know, but due to his injury. So
Clay's brother, a lot of
this is going on. Is Jordan? I don't believe he is. Is he?
I don't believe
he's his brother.
I could be wrong.
I didn't know they were related. You may be right, but I didn't think so. But either way, he's out. And I mean, for a team that could, you know, use wide receiver help, considering Julian Edelman is suspended for the first four games, and and everyone else left. So, I mean, the Patriots are at the point now where Cordell Patterson is projected to make the roster, and this is no knock on him, but, you know, they're looking at guys like Patterson and Hogan and Dorsett, you know, and maybe a Kenny Britt,
Tony's kid,
Malcolm Mitchell. Yeah, so guys that you wouldn't normally think with the Patriots, even though a lot of times, the misnomer with the Patriots is that they get by with a lot of no-name guys. But every time they have a no-name guy, they have a name guy next to them. So,
yeah, I know. And then that no-name guy becomes the next name guy.
Exactly. So everyone talks about, oh, they went with these undersized receivers. Well, at one time, Randy Moss was running with those undersized receivers last year.
That's right.
They traded for and had the kid out of New Orleans that's now a member of the Rams. So he was running with those no-name guys. So every year they have, you know, the list of no-name guys. There's always one guy that can play this running with him. So,
well,
so
everybody starts out
as
nobody, you know.
True, but that gets so blown out of proportion, you know. So Julian Edelman is not a no-name wide receiver at this stage of his career. So I just think it's funny how we always throw that around with the Patriots. But, yeah, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries that took place. I did want to touch on Lou real quick on that. The trade deadline came and went in baseball, and I think it's trade deadline ever, because unlike the NFL where trade deadline means no more trades are made, in the NBA no more trades are made, but in baseball it just means it's the regular trade part done. Now we're in our waiver trade thing, which is should just be one trade deadline. But Bryce Harper stayed with Washington. Did that surprise you at all?
No, not at all, because he's carrying this team. I think if they did trade him, the Nationals would be starting where to fall to contention as we speak. So I don't think they have much of a choice. He is carrying this team, trying to get in to make that playoff spot. So I am not surprised at all.
You ready for this? I am surprised. Let me tell you why I'm surprised. I think I am, but not because they don't want him, and not because they're not going to try to bring him back. I'm surprised because they didn't go out and get the prospects. So let me go back and say it this way. Do you remember when the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs and they got a crap load of prospects? And then the Cubs obviously went on and won the World Series that year. But then what did the Yankees do? As soon as that season was over and they could sign players, they went back and they signed Aroldis Chapman
back.
So basically they knew they weren't making the playoffs or going to make a deep run in the playoffs. So they got rid of the person that could bring them the assets. They then got to keep the assets and then go right back out and bring back that player. So I really thought the Nationals were going to do the same thing. I thought they were going to make the trade, let him go, knowing that come the offseason they were going to be the leader in bringing him back. Now, I'm not sure how much he said, hey, this is something I really don't want to do, but that's really what I thought may happen. right now on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. We're joined by the Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, holding it down.
I got split anyway, but I'll tell you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate it. Every time.
Yeah, the dinner bell just rang.
Hi, my man. Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Friend of the program, Lou, always great to catch up with him. Tony Capobianco on with us, Cuban Cowboy on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. My friend, what's going down?
They're talking about practice. Ben Roethlisberger looks fabulous. That's really the first thing I saw on TV. I just immediately thought about that.
Well, you know, what's funny is I want to get your take on this baseball thing right really quick, because I really want to jump into this Urban Meyer thing. But did you hear what I was saying about Bryce Harper and how the Nationals could have pulled the Yankees, trade them away, knowing that they're not going to go deep in the playoffs, knowing they're not going to win the World Series, get some assets and young prospects, and then be the front runners beside them and bring it back in the offseason?
Yeah, I think you have both parties have to be in on it for that to really work, because it's always a gamble. Like, from what I've heard from the comments that Harper made, you sound like a guy that wouldn't want to come back if he got traded. I think that was the same reason why Jones Nick Steady trade to leave Baltimore. Probably a huge gamble. So if you're in on the act, if you know that this guy is going to want to come back after he leaves, then you milk him for what he's worth. But sometimes those trades don't really go so well.
And then, like I said, I do want to get into sort of a minor thing. I want to talk, what's your opinion real quick, especially since you are the baseball guy. Osuna being traded to the Astros, and the Astros having a no-tolerance policy when it comes to domestic abuse, yet they're using the loophole that domestic abuse did not occur while he was a member of the Houston Astros, thus bringing him on. And we know that Verlander and a couple other teammates have made strong comments about domestic abuse. Is this whole thing a joke? Is it just a matter of plain and simple, we need closing help, this guy's a great closer, we need that arm to damn with all that other crap off the field? I mean, just putting it plain and simple, we're going to bring him in and everyone is going to adjust to it.
Yeah, I find moralizing baseball to be so overrated. Like, the Texas Rangers has a convicted felon that's come out of prison and had pitched for their team for the last 3 years. And no one seems to bite about that. Like, if the person who committed the act serves his time, that's be it. But the idea that goes through the punishment, goes somewhere else, that everyone moralizes about it, is if when they say zero tolerance, they think, all right, ban for life. But baseball can't even get that right, because they're bringing another person back after being banned for life. So it's overrated, and I think this was just a trade with two relievers that both teams were just done with. And it benefits both teams as well to get the other guy back. I'm sure this will go over. I find it hard to believe that a team as good as the Astros could just be completely dismantled from the inside just because one guy shows up that has done something wrong.
Here's what I don't understand, and I'm going to say this, and by no means, and you'll understand this even more when we jump to Urban Meyer here, by no means am I saying you should ever, 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 ever put your hands on a female. I completely understand that. I'm completely behind that. I think it's just not thinkable for someone to do. But here's where I'm confused. If the rule is 75 games and he comes back with Toronto, is it not a big deal? But since he's traded to Houston, now it's a big deal because we're not sure if Houston wants this kind of character guy. But it's okay if he stays with the team that he's with. I mean, if this is such a bad guy, then shouldn't he be out of baseball then? What I don't understand is
everyone understands
that
he shouldn't do it. But there should be a line between being gone forever and then serving their time and then coming back. Like, every time someone comes back and it goes somewhere, they're like, have this team no soul or conscience. They send the guy away for good, but you don't do that. So he comes back, make your amends.
So what I'm saying is if he's a jerk, and this guy may be a jerk, if he's guilty of this, he's one of the biggest jerks walking around on the Major League Baseball field. But if you're going to let him back on the field, if you're going to let the jerk back on the field, if you're going to let the abuser back on the field, Tony, does it matter if he's playing in Houston or Toronto? I mean, what is that saying about Toronto then, that their moral code is lower because they'll let him come back? I mean, this is something that's collectively bargained and agreed on. So baseball players have a right to say when the next agreement comes up, hey, anyone found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, shadow of a doubt, could go to prison for this type stuff. If this happens, we want them completely out of baseball, period. If they do that, then yeah, we're all on the same moral compass. But until they do that, I don't. And the team, this team does this way. This team won't allow. I don't get it.
Well, they did this with Chicago with Chapman too. Like, it's just another column to write, and they can't get steroid guys out of the game for good. So they wouldn't be able to do this. But it's just. Any baseball team could just send somebody, could just banish a player from their team for anything. Like the Nationals just beat the Mets 25-4 just because a pitcher threw his glove on the floor during that ass whooping. He was banished from the Nationals. Like it's this whole moralizing thing in sports above the level of what the law says. It's just silly. And it doesn't make you any better of a person. It doesn't make you any worse of a person.
Well, I want to on the Cadillac Eloy line, Cuban Cowboy Tony Capobianco is on. Ohio State had a football coach a football coach named Urban Meyer. One of his assistants that he fired was Zach Smith. Now, Zach Smith worked for Urban down in Florida. They've been friends, obviously, for a long time. He brought him with him. Now, he fired him in July because – he's saying he learned at that time that Zach Smith was abusing his wife, Courtney. What we've come to find out, though, is that Courtney Smith is saying people knew about this since 2015. What we're finding out is that Urban's wife, Shelly Meyer, counseled Ms. Smith, Courtney Smith, several times about what was going on. And according to Courtney Smith, she let it be known that it's okay to tell Urban what's going on, because I don't think it should be a secret that, you know, my husband, who she had, at the time had separated from, was beating her. In fact, there was a time where, you know, some of this abuse happened in front of their kids. Now we're to believe, per Urban Meyer, that he never found out about this. Tony, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this as a married man. There is nothing that goes on that if my wife found out about, that someone was working with me or for me, was beating their wife, there's no way that she would not tell me. There's absolutely no way. That wouldn't be a secret. That would come out. Are we supposed to be that naive to believe that Urban Meyer's wife never once said to Urban Meyer, hey, this is a bad dude, he's beating his wife? Are we really to believe that?
And even if it was true, we'd never give credit to coaches for being naive themselves, like being completely oblivious to stuff that goes on. Did it work for Paterno? Did it work for Patino? It's not working for Meyer. Like, anytime something happens within the coaching rank, the head coach says, oh, I had no idea about it. And we never do. And even if he knew and his wife knew and the attempt was to counsel and rehabilitate them, apparently the new societal policy is we don't allow that either. So just to save your ass, it makes sense to just fire him as soon as you know, or as soon as your wife knows. That's the only way you can save your own ass and not go down with your abusing ship.
Wouldn't it make more sense, though, think about this, if he just said what you said? If he came out and said, you know what, I knew about the assault, I knew about the abuse, but here's the situation. We are trying to fix lives, not ruin them. So we knew he had a problem. My wife was counseling her, and, you know, he was close to me every day in practice and close to me every day in my office, and I was counseling him in hopes that we could get this thing rectified. After, you know, after time passed, we realized that he just wasn't going to change. This is who he was, and so we went ahead and cut ties. Wouldn't that sound better than my wife, I mean, than finding out that his wife knew but didn't say a word when he said more than one time his wife is his lifeline, his wife is their backbone, his wife is the person they share everything together, but she didn't share this one thing? Doesn't that just sound crazy wild, or is it just me?
Now, I think that would probably at least help out his image a tad, that you at least gave it a chance with both of them, at least try to make things right other than just jettisoning them all completely. But this whole, I was oblivious to the whole thing, that doesn't work with anybody. It doesn't work in the NBA, it doesn't work in college football, it doesn't work with head coaches, it doesn't work with GMs. Like, if we know it, you clearly know it, you might as well just be open about it. It might save your job. I don't think transparency has ever cost someone their job.
Is the new thing blaming the wives for everything or letting the wives take the heat? Because in this, the wife knew but didn't tell him. And in Colangelo's case, Brian Colangelo, the wife did the ghost tweeting. The wife had the ghost accounts. The wife, is this the new thing now that we blame the wife for not telling the husband of what's going on? Is this how we're doing it now?
It might be the new thing, but what has always been the same thing is these coaches who act like they're the president of their own little empire, their domain, who demand accountability, who make rules, who demand rules to be followed, are just as cowardly as the rest of us. And they don't want to accept responsibility as well, even if they are about it or not about it.
Does Ohio State, if it's found out, wink, wink, when it's found out, wink, wink, that Urban Meyer did this, considering the state of Ohio State football before Urban got there? Urban was a winner in Utah. Urban was a winner in Florida. Urban completely flipped Ohio State around, got them back to being national champions or competing for a national championship every year. They were a bad loss to Iowa last year, to go away from going back to the playoffs, you know, just last year. So they're worth a whole lot of money. Their endowment is large. They bring in a lot of money. They bring in NFL team worth type money. Do they fire Urban Meyer, who's supposed to be on that higher moral ground? Do they let him go?
I think they will, because they did the same thing with Jim Tressel over tattoos. Ohio State can get anybody. They can flip Urban Meyer for Jim Harbaugh and it will win a national championship. It doesn't matter who, what high profile head coach comes over with their base and their recruiting, like, suction cup, they'll get anybody. So I don't think Urban Meyer can survive this, because Ohio State has proven it to be bigger than just one coach.
Is it fair to say that maybe now the Urban Meyer squeaky clean image, the family first image and all that stuff, really takes a hit finally? Because when he was coaching Florida, everybody wants to remember the great guy Tim Tebow is and what Tim Tebow stood for and how he was. But no one really brings up that Florida had more rest than any other team in college football while he was the head coach. Nobody wants to bring that part up. So do you think that now he starts to get some of the heat for all the bad things that were that kind of followed him for a while that no one ever wants to talk about?
Yeah, Urban Meyer was more awarded than head coach over at Florida. But I think with the head coaches, I think we got to stop treating them like like governors, essentially. We treat them like politicians. They come into every press conference well dressed in a suit, looking like like they're senators or something. I believe, just like I think moralizing in baseball is overrated, I think it's the same thing with college football. But the reason why we do the moralizing in college football is because we don't pay the players, and the interest in college football is because of the base's alma mater affiliation rather than just the fact that these guys play fun.
Tony, we only got a couple minutes left online with this. Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Something I want to bring up real quick, and I'm going to soapbox this real quick and get off of it. We obviously know the NBA signed a deal with MGM with gambling, and they're going to get a certain amount of money. We know that. So I heard someone today say colleges should do the same thing. They should take 1%. They should sign a deal, take 1%, and that 1% should go to athletes. The money should get stipend back to them, and I'm following them. I'm like, that's a great idea. And they said, well, not only should it go to football, basketball, baseball players, but it also should go to lacrosse and volleyball and yada, yada, yada. Now, with that, I started to get a little, you know what, because if they're not betting on your sport, why should you necessarily be the beneficiary of the money? Then they hit with the, or if they don't do that, tie it to graduation and give them the money only if they graduate. I think that is the biggest ripoff and the biggest farce. And if the NCAA does that, once again, they will prove that they're the biggest mafia in the world. If you tie graduation to an athlete, you are out of your freaking mind, unfair. Because if you do that, then they should come back and say, what we're going to do then is ensure you of draft day. If you are projected to go in the top round and be picked number 13, and you play all 4 years, whatever your highest draft spot would be, we will not only give you insurance, but we will pay you, in essence, an insurance, what a 5-year NFL contract would be and the spot you were slotted. Then I'll say go for it. But otherwise, to tie it to graduation, when the players are making you hella money, and then turn around and you get hurt and say, well, yeah, but you know what? You didn't stay all 4 years, sorry. Or you know what? You left after 2 years to go make more money. That's absolutely ridiculous. There's my soapbox. It would have went longer, but time stopped me from doing it.
It is a ripoff, especially if you change your major, you're no longer eligible. So they want to use your body for 4 years and then hold your money hostage. Just pay the freaking players. They're worth. Or don't penalize them for making money their own way.
It's got to be one or the other at this point. It really does have to be one or the other.
But I need MGM to give the players the money that I don't want to pay them. Like, that's ridiculous.
You know what? And the NCAA, you know, will do that because it will not come out of their coffers, and they can still take that holier than you and say, well, we're an institution of higher learning. Well, you know what? Let's ask Urban Meyer about that while he's protecting, allegedly, so I don't get sued, someone who likes to beat up his wife. Tony, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
There's my article coverage of the Miami Marlins on sportscave.com. My most recent article is about them trading Cameron Maybin to the Mariners and Brad Ziegler back to the Diamondbacks.
Ziggy's back. I'll actually be at the game on Saturday night. My man, I appreciate it very much, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
Alrighty.
Make sure you're following us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, fan page, and Instagram at The Sports Cave, where Cave is always with the K. Like Tony said, ton of articles at thesportscave.com, where Cave is always with the K. And you can get me at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow when we come back, a lot of topics left on the table. This Urban Meyer thing really has my head spinning on this one. Really want to put my arms around it because there's so many fallacies, there's so many lies, there's so much dirt. It's funny how the wife always knows but the husband doesn't. I'm not flying with that. Until next time, everyone, this has been The Cave Show. Thanks, Tony, for calling in. Thanks, Lou, for calling in. Until tomorrow, take care of yourself. It's The Cave Show. This is PLR.